Last year, a new combination drug trial aimed at targeting the cause of cystic fibrosis gave sufferers new hope. One of the people who was fortunate enough to get on the drug trial was Irish cystic fibrosis campaigner and writer Orla Tinsley. And she joins me now on the line from New York, where she's been living for the last couple of months or so. Orla, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now, you were speaking to me last, I think, during the summer when you had been on the trial. It had made a big difference to your life. It allowed you to do things that weren't possible to even contemplate, like going to study in New York at Columbia University. So you're there for several weeks now. How have you been getting on?
I've been getting on great. In regards to the trial, you know, I've been on it now since August 2013 and on the drug since last January. And it really, you know, has changed my life very positively. I haven't seen any massive new improvements since I've moved to New York, but I still have this incredibly positive, slow and steady energy that that I didn't have before, that just kind of is there, that wasn't there, that's enabling me to take on this course and to be able to actually do it. So that's it's really remarkable, and it's something that I'm really grateful for.
Well, that's good news. So far, so good, so to speak, Orla. And I gather as well that you've had to contend with an infection that would have laid you much lower had you been back here prior to going on the new drug.
Right, yeah. I mean, I'm on intravenous antibiotics at the moment here in New York, but I'm actually doing them from home, which has, you know, enabled me to go to some of my classes and stay somewhat involved in everyday life, which is really remarkable for me, because a year ago, an infection would have meant that, you know, I would have to just be hospitalized. There was no two ways about it. I would always get that seriously unwell, and there would be a lot of complications. So it's been, you know, challenging, a little nerve-wracking, but mostly positive to be able to do it at home myself and to experience the U.S. healthcare system in that way, and, you know, have the connection to the hospital, New York Presbyterian, the Cystic Fibrosis Center there, which is excellent, but also to, you know, have nurses come to my home just to, you know, put in my line and take my bloods and, you know, once a week and have my drugs delivered. So it's kind of allowed this uninterrupted, it's not as interrupted as it would have been previously. And it's an incredibly encouraging thing and really exciting to be able to experience that.
It sounds, Orla, like you're dealing with and you're benefiting from maybe a more flexible regime for dealing with the cystic fibrosis. Now, is that on account of the drugs, or is it because the system there is different?
I think it's because of the drugs. The system here is different, but, you know, you can do home IVs in Ireland. But I, personally for me, because my CF had progressed to such a stage, it's still the stage it was at, but the infection that I got this time was not as aggressive. And in fact, prior to the infection needing treatment with intravenous antibiotics, I had had a kind of a cold when I got here, like literally like a few days after I got off the plane, which a year ago would have landed me straight in hospital no matter what I did. Whereas now I was able to go for several weeks, in fact, you know, almost 2 months without having to go and take intravenous antibiotics. And when I did present and need them, I wasn't as ill as I would have been. And in fact, it was more kind of it was kind of like, I was like, oh, do I really need these? But of course, the markers were there and I did need them. But my energy was good enough that I could take them and then, you know, contemplate going to class, you know, few days later, which I did do, and was able to work around that. Now, I couldn't go straight into my full schedule because that's just unrealistic and not very sensible, but I was able to kind of stay in life in that way. And that's a massive thing, and it's psychologically and physically, it's an incredible achievement for anybody with CF to be able to just have that that aspect of life not be so dominated by CF when you get an infection. And I think that's a remarkably positive positive progress to see, and that if any drug can give that sort of result, if that's what it is, which I do believe that's certainly right, a large percentage of it, it's great.
Of course, in the background, and you arrived in New York pretty much at the time when the Ebola scare and concerns about that were starting to increase, and we've seen all the controversy now about people being put in quarantine and so forth, but you yourself, I gather, have had sort of some brushes with people's concerns about that.
Yeah, I remember actually, because it was very early, it was September 17th, I was on the subway coming home after hanging out with some college friends, and this guy was sitting beside me, and I was coughing as I generally do with my CF, just so I don't really think about it, you know. And he turned around and he said, "Miss, do you have Ebola?" I was like, "Oh no, I certainly don't." And he looked at me and like thought about it for a second and then fled to the other side of the carriage. And I kind of thought, okay. So that was in September, and I have experienced that a few times, you know, so, and since Ebola, you know, did arrive in the States, it's something I've seen more frequently, and even in Whole Foods, when I'm going to get my groceries, usually there's, you know, chocolate in the aisle running up to the cash register, and now it's covered in hand sanitizer of every fragrance. So, you know, there certainly is kind of, it's something that you're aware of, and people talk about it, and, you know, but I think it's not as panicked as it was initially, say, like within like a week ago. And I think people, I think the atmosphere is less less gosh, hysterical.
You wouldn't want to be too thin-skinned based on that encounter you had with the particular gentleman on the public transport system. But tell me this much, how are things working out for you at Columbia? You're doing a creative writing course.
Yes, I'm doing a creative writing master's. It's wonderful. I'm loving it so much. And they've been incredibly understandable while I've been been unwell. So I'm very, very thankful for that. But the course is really great. It's allowing me to write about things and you know, that I wouldn't have been able to do before, and also to do it in New York. You know, I've never lived anywhere except Ireland, and I never thought I would, because I've been so unwell. So it's really remarkable.
Is there a big novel in the works now, or what's coming what's going to be coming at us?
You'll have to wait and see.
Okay, well, you're not going to tell me that. Well, time, I suppose, will tell. And it sounds a case of so far, so good. But on this particular drug, I think it's called Lumacaftor.
It's a combination drug of Lumacaftor and Ivacaftor.
Right. What is the outlook for you? In other words, you're still presumably as part of a drugs trial. How can you be left on it indefinitely, or what are they telling you?
At the moment, I don't have that information. It's quite like lockdown and that sort of thing. I mean, realistically, next month, Vertex, who are the company who are producing it, who are running the show with it, basically, are applying for EMA and FDA approval. And once it's approved, the negotiation process will start. So Ireland's Centre for Pharmacoeconomics, and, you know, other countries in Europe, whatever their centres are, will look at the drug and check its cost effectiveness. And this is kind of the issue we should be concerned about, because the drug will be quite expensive. I suppose the drug company knows that it has something very powerful and very important, and so the price is quite high. And we saw this with Kalydeco in 2013, if you remember, January 2013. It was rejected by the National Centre for Pharmacoeconomics, and we had to campaign to get it in, which involved negotiations between the health minister, the HSE, the you know, the Centre for Pharmacoeconomics, and the drug company itself, and reducing the price. So we have to watch it carefully and remember that this is something that's cost effective. You know, it does show results, and it does change lives for the better. And I'm a living example of that. I mean, I wouldn't last year, I don't think I would have seen, you know, I would have thought that I could actually be here in New York and be well enough to do something like this and to take it on and have it not affect my health negatively, and know that I can see it through. And now I'm in a position that I can. So, I mean, it's just, it is like living in a dream. It's something I never thought I'd be able to experience. So,
Orla, you know, thank you so much for talking to us. And I know it did mean getting up early and taking a cab, I think, to get to studio. We really appreciate it. And the very best wishes to you at Columbia and your time during your time in the States. Orla Tinsley there. We'll be talking Google after the break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.